Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, my friends. It is Monday, All Hallows Eve, October 31st, 2011, and we're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours, fresh out of prison for a crime he says he didn't commit, and I've looked at the case. It's clear he was framed, and lawyers and others involved said it was a miscarriage of justice. Fresh out of prison. He's been out for a while, but this will be the first major interview he does. Fritz Springmeier is scheduled to be joining us today, coming up in the third hour. Amazing researcher, a prolific author. I'll be honest with you, I read some of his stuff 12 years ago or so and really couldn't believe it. And then over the years, so much of it turned out to be true. So stuff that I read as, quite frankly, entertaining nightmare horror fiction has turned out to be accurate in many respects. I haven't read all of his books, but I've read several of them. They're giant, thick things. We carry his Bloodlines of the Illuminati book, going into the big 13 families at Infowars.com. And over the years he's been in prison, that's been the only revenue that his wife has basically had. So Fritz will be joining us coming up in the third hour. In the meantime, we are going to have open phones today. And I noticed about a week ago that the system was unable to co-opt Occupy Wall Street. They put out the call, the Democratic operatives did, to call out well-meaning people. Then they tried to fully co-opt it to be Obama supporters and to call for tax increases on the middle class. That failed to a great extent, though there are the communists and others involved. It's a diverse mix, and the In the Fetters and others have been down there educating them. So now you notice over the weekend you saw attacks all over the United States against Occupy Wall Street and people being taken to jail. And you saw the predictable demonization campaigns. And I heard local radio this morning demonizing the right of assembly and saying it was bad. And also I heard the Austin police chief, you know, saying, well, somebody defecated in the flower bed at the city hall. Well, I've talked to multiple sources and I'm going to try to get them to go public. But anyone being let out of the homeless shelters or homeless being arrested or people being let out of prison are being told by the local constabulary to go down to City Hall and that that's the only place they're allowed to sleep at night. And so another false flag. And I'd already been told this over the weekend by multiple sources. And then I'm listening to local radio this morning, local 590, with the host in there bashing Occupy Wall Street, just the idea of protesting. And I heard a very well-spoken vet call in who owns his own business. He said, A, we're not all unemployed like you say. B, we've confirmed they're telling homeless who are arrested for being out drunk at night, you won't be arrested. This is at the Austin Travis County Jail. You're allowed to go sleep at Occupy. And so they're literally sending the homeless people who are drunk out of their minds with a dribbling diarrhea behind them there. And my crew's been down there. That's who's down there. It's homeless people. And this is happening in New York and other areas. So the media can say, look, they're dirty winos. And then paint the idea of protesting, period, as a wino with a bottle of Jack Daniels. Who's malnourished. It's incredible how the system runs false flags. The dozens arrested at Occupy demonstration in Austin. Actually, it's 40 plus now. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is All Hallows' Eve, the night before All Saints' Day, known as Halloween or the Devil's Holiday. Oh, of course, it wasn't even a popular holiday until manufactured in the 1950s, picking up on the Druidic celebration of Samhain or Samhain. Human Sacrifice Day, that's mainline history books. Human sacrifice all over Europe, throwing bound children, sometimes even war leaders or chiefs, into burning pits of flame and coals. And then the establishment, wanting a new holiday to push, basically picked it and manufactured, and was not popularly celebrated until the mid-1950s. And they had songs like The Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash. The Monster Mash. So we are live, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to thank you all for joining us here today for this worldwide transmission. We do have Fritz Springmeier, who was convicted of reportedly robbing a bank. He was a prolific writer, selling tens of thousands of books a month, from what I know, and then reportedly went out and robbed a bank. And, of course, the evidence was he was completely and totally set up. He'll be joining us today here on air. And I will tell you, he's lost a lot of weight. I've now seen a short video of him. This will be his first major interview. And he looks like basically a concentration camp victim compared to the way he looked previously. He looks like he's lost about half his body weight and is frail. So we should be praying for him. And he says he's coming on. Though, you know, they could try to gin something up for him speaking out and throw him back in the hooskow, but he is certainly not one to give up. So we'll be talking to Fritz Springmeier about the state of the world and more coming up in this important interview for much of the third hour today. Now, that said, we are seeing huge developments in the global economy right now. We also have some very important Frankenfood news, dealing with the genetic takeover of our planet. You have the whole Herman Cain scandal that is a complete distraction and diversion from the issues. We have DHS-funded taser drones launched in Texas. They have basically the taser shotgun rounds in them and can taser you from a distance directly out of they live, where the little drone flies over and Rowdy Piper says, "Hello there, my little friend. Come to tell them where I am." And then he shoots it with a shotgun. I think we're going to do a bit on that tonight on the nightly news, 7 o'clock Central. So that's coming up. Also, communists occupy Pontiac, Michigan. And we've got a first ever look inside the new Red Dawn that was going to come out this year, but it didn't come out this year because the communist Chinese got upset. That's, I didn't even know that. I was trying to find out about the film this morning and instead discovered that it who knows, it might not even come out next year because the communist Chinese got mad. So they had to go in with digital computers and reportedly spend a whole bunch of money to take the communist Chinese symbols off things and put North Korean symbols on it. But because North Korea is a client state of the Chi-Coms, that's now upsetting them. And because China holds so many of our T-bills, we now can't, I guess, criticize them. But the reason I was looking up Red Dawn this morning, the new Red Dawn, is because I saw a comment on one of my videos, a video response to a video that had just been posted yesterday and only had maybe 50 views, titled "Communist Occupy Potomac" or Pontiac, and that is now up at Infowars.com, and it's a first look inside the film. You know why it's a first look? They haven't released trailers, nothing. Nothing that I could find. This is just somebody walking around in Pontiac, where a whole area of the town where everything's shut down has been turned into occupied America. And it actually looks like something the TSA would set up. So we have all the video of the signs, you know, looking for certain citizens that need to be picked up to see something, say something. A lot of the posters look like some of the things the communists have had at Occupy Wall Street, where, you know, they're saying transfer the wealth and free market is evil. So some pretty powerful video up at Infowars.com of that titled Communist Occupy Pontiac. The video below shows a set for the new version of the movie Red Dawn. It was recorded on a street in Pontiac, Michigan. It's interesting to note that the posters show in the video, one is reminiscent of the Occupy Wall Street crowd, while another looks like something the Department of Homeland Security might put out. It says, deceitful leaders, greedy corporations. This is not democracy. We are here to help. In fact, that's the movie poster. It says, we are here to help with a red star. That's not just like Homeland Security. And then it also says, you know, don't believe the internet propaganda, lies. We are here to help. Sounds like Cass Sunstein at the White House. And then they have images of the citizens by the hundreds up on placards saying, dangerous citizen alert. And it's got images of all the people that need to be picked up and arrested. And, of course, it will really kill the plausibility of the film to have the invasion be by North Koreans who couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag instead of the communist Chinese who've really infiltrated this country to such a great extent and have more than 5,000 front companies and have been caught shipping weapons in and would find a lot of Americans of the socialist bent that would actually aid them. Like the Chinese somehow invading this country through covert operations and cutting off certain areas of the nation is more plausible than the 1980s Red Dawn with the Russians. They've got more manpower, more systems, and I'm not saying that's going to happen either. They don't need to. It's the global bankers that have conquered China and the United States, and they're playing us off against each other. But just amazing. And again, we'll be covering that tonight on the Nightly News, 7 o'clock Central. Continuing with surveillance, it's getting picked up in the British news over in the UK, the Daily Mail. Who's listening to your calls? And it goes on to say the Met's blanket surveillance system will track thousands of innocent civilians' mobiles. And it goes on to admit that the London police, and it goes along and says the U.S. government as well is involved in the same thing, as if that makes it okay, is just listening to people's phones and tracking them without warrants. Yes, this has been going on for more than a decade, and it's directly out of a nightmare system. It's the opposite of a free society. And here's the central point before I get into all this news that I want to make to whoever you are, no matter what area of the political spectrum you say that you sit on, or perhaps you're off the reservation like I am. This is the message. You cannot doubt, any angle you look at it from, that the powers that be are moving this country and every other nation they control in a hardcore retrograde move towards oppression, surveillance, every form of known oppression and tyranny. There is no doubting anybody that's honest, and there's also no doubting that when you have a Republican in office now, the very same globalist aims are forwarded. And when you get a Democrat in office, the very same globalist programs are moved forward. There's different rhetoric, but the exact same programs are continued in lockstep, whether it's banker takeover bailouts, or whether it's gun control moves, or immigration policy, or military policy, or secret arrest or torture policy. It is the exact same direction. And that's why you see the leader of the Republican PAC, Mitt Romney, and I talk to Republicans all the time, mainline Republicans. I was talking to a former naval aviator, you know, F-14 pilot, who's a stockbroker at a party I was at this weekend. It was at my parents' party. It was really nice fella. And he even listens to the show some. But I brought up Mitt Romney to him. He said, yeah, I like Ron Paul on some things, but, you know, not on others. But he said, I said, well, what about Mitt Romney? I mean, he's the leader, and he's for open borders, illegal alien amnesty, restrictions on the Second Amendment. He wrote the socialist health care plan. He's for carbon taxes. He's for abortion. And I said, why are Republicans supporting him? And he goes, well, because they know he can probably win. And, you know, they know they need to be basically moderate. And he went on to say that, well, Mitt Romney's a politician. He was doing that to win in Massachusetts. See, there's this attitude that politicians that know how to change their color like a chameleon, that oh, well, that's why Mitt Romney supports gun control. That's why Mitt Romney wrote the health care bill. That's why he did this. He's really a good guy. He'll show those Democrats once he gets in power. Of course, he didn't go that far, but that was the flavor of it. And it's they get so into the system and buying into the rules of the system and what is seen as strategic within the system and regurgitating what intellectual pygmies in suits on the morning shows, the Sunday shows, tell them that's the way the world needs to be. People are stuck in this reservation, Democrat and Republican. No, Mitt Romney didn't do that because he's a political chameleon. He did that because that's what the big bankers want, is a collectivized society for the general public while they're offshore exempt from it. They want to, okay, that's why no matter who you get on, get in, this continues. These politicians are all doing things that are unpopular.
Come, you masters of war. Here they build the big guns. Here they build the death planes.
Okay, we are back live. The point I was getting to as we came to break is Mitt Romney is not in the past promoting gun control, open borders, sanctuary cities, carbon taxes, abortion, because he's doing it to be popular. If you look at all those issues, they're wildly unpopular across the political spectrum at around 70%. Conservatively. They do it because that's what the ruling class wants. That's what the ultra-rich globalists want, who have all basically unified around destroying this country. The reason we're losing our liberties and our freedoms is because the establishment wants to secure their ill-gotten gains. And in the process of it, when revolution comes in this country, they're going to try to steer it into a collectivist system that will destroy the middle class and put regulations on what's left of the free market and shut it down. We are at the very end of America. Classical, domestic, homeland security, police state systems are being put in. And in all the training manuals, it is for the general public, designed for the entire populace, not for rogue terror groups that you're told they're for. It is right out of a textbook what they would set up in a Nazi Germany or a Soviet Union. In occupied areas, Germany, in major population centers that were trusted, was not this controlled. As controlled as we now are. Occupied areas of Poland and Ukraine and Western Russia were. Areas of North Africa were. Areas of France that had heavy resistance. I mean, this is called an internal defense in Pentagon doctrine for when they've occupied a country, Vietnam, how to suppress the public. I played you those internal PSYOP films yesterday on air that have been declassified. And you watch what a martial law internal defense structure is. That's what the homeland is. That's the absorption of America. When you hear homeland, that's the new America absorbing the system. Mitt Romney would be wildly popular with the people if he was pro-gun, anti-government-run health care, anti-carbon tax. But he doesn't care because he's bought and paid for by the globalist. Herman Cain is trying to sell new taxes as constitutional and conservative. And I told you for 16 years, when they propose the new national sales tax and VAT, they're not going to get rid of the income tax or the payroll tax. So it's really 9999, and then they can jack up all the nines. Why do they have Bill O'Reilly? Why do they have Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, all of them over the years pushing, well, we got to pay off our debts, cut government and raise new taxes? Can you imagine the IRS over sales taxes now? They've been getting everybody ready for this for decades, making old ladies swipe cards to buy wine or beer. That's what this whole cashless thing's about, is it's going to be graduated depending on your income, how much sales tax you pay. This has all been actuaried out by the RAND Corporation, MIT, and others. That's how I knew it was coming. I've shown you the documents. I've gone over it here on air. I know what their next 10 moves are, and I'm sitting here in horror going, hey, I got their entire battle plan. You might want to listen to me. I know what's going on. I don't know. I told you 9 years ago they were going to set up checkpoints domestically, and the TSA was going to be the new national security force. Then Obama announced it would be a new domestic national security force. Everybody said, how did you know that? Because, and they go, well, it's Obama doing it. Suddenly conservatives that had supported it are suddenly against it because Obama made the announcement. Oh, you watch, when you get a Republican in, they're going to continue all this and then some. And remember, going back more than 10 years before 9/11, all of the internal manuals we've been sent and that we've published over and over again, they never started making national news till 3 years ago. You go back to Road to Terror and other films, I've got the manuals right there. It's never about Arab or Muslim terrorists. It's all flag-waving, gun-owning, red-blooded people who aren't communist. You are the enemy. The subversives are the people that hijack the government, and they're not communist. The real political spectrum is communism at the grassroots to make you dependent, but not calling it communism, and then a corporate fascist system above it directing government to shut down all its competition. That's what should be taught in political science classrooms, and I've had them laugh at me for more than a decade, but now it's catching on. The term that I've always used, crony capitalist, is now caught on, and you bankers are in trouble. We have now identified you!
We're on.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.
Again,
tell him it goes.
Just during the break, I saw Newt Gingrich on Fox Television.
Cut him down.
And they had the headline under him, Newt Gingrich gaining ground after slow start. Newt Gingrich, in fact, I meant to get to this to a few weeks ago. I got to dig the book out and to go to the quotes again. He wrote the foreword to two of the Toffler's books back in the 80s, where he calls for the end of American sovereignty in a global government. This is a guy who they put in there to take control of the conservative revolution in 1994. This is a guy who will say a lot of the right things on TV, but was taken from obscurity as a Georgia professor and made the Speaker of the House of Representatives because he is total New World Order. And most people don't even know this. He supported the carbon taxes. Newt Gingrich has supported gun control. Newt Gingrich has supported all sorts of horrible things. And I tell conservatives this, and they look at me like I'm a liar, when they could just type into a search engine, Newt Gingrich, you know, does climate commercial with Nancy Pelosi. I mean, this is the type of stuff that we're dealing with as a society And Herman Cain running around proposing new taxes, and he headed up the Federal Reserve in Kansas City. You see, they're trying to muddy the waters here to make all of this about either you're against Wall Street, which signifies the free market, or you're against Washington. The Tea Party is against Washington, we're told, and is right wing, and Occupy Wall Street is leftist and against the free market. Instead, we should be honest and say, okay, Wall Street is just a name of tens of thousands of companies. What about the big mega banks that actually lobby? You know, let's see how Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo and Bank of America and Citibank, how are they lobbying? What do they give their money to? And when you go look up who gives money to Handgun Control Incorporated, you can just type in who funds Handgun Control Incorporated or who funds Mecha or La Raza, or if you type in who funds North American Union Initiative, or you type in who's funding a single-payer healthcare program, or if you type in who's funding every issue you can imagine, it's the big mega banks. The biggest funder across the board, from the Nature Conservancy to the Sierra Club, is Goldman Sachs. Their former presidents and vice presidents run all the groups. Go look it up. These big so-called free market bankers, when you actually dig into it, are funding the subversion of our basic liberties, of private property, of the freedom of mobility, everything. They are the ones driving our government. They are the mega banks on record that literally in Latin America, Africa, Asia, Middle East will spend decades getting their president, their prime minister in, former vice presidents of theirs, literally in 50 or so countries I've looked up, all the big ones they're taking down. They'll have the finance minister, just like in Greece, just like in Ireland, just like in Iceland, just like in Spain, just like in France, just like in the U.S. And it's literally an intelligence group. It's a private mafia that operates with government security clearances and runs everything. They're the ones financing taking your guns. They're the ones financing animal ID, premises ID, Food Safety Act, written by Big Agra to shut down your farm and ranch. They are a corporate Borg that leaves nothing unscorched. It is a scorched earth policy of total domination. And then they fund on record and come out and endorse Occupy Wall Street a month ago. Adbusters and others on record, George Soros connected groups, openly 3 months ago put the call out to Occupy Wall Street on the October date, the early October date. I forget the day it started, what, October 3rd or something. Well-meaning people hear the general call as, you know, we're tired of corruption on Wall Street. They show up, and the operatives show up to try to organize them and control them into a group that they can now aim at what's left of America and play the Tea Party co-opted by Republicans off against Occupy Wall Street that's been co-opted and occupied by the Democrats. All part of the same dialectic. Instead of looking at the hands and looking at the arms, look at the head. Look at the brain that's running it. When you start thinking like that, full spectrum, deep analysis, historical review, understanding of different strategies that are employed against populations in the great game, divide and conquer, balkanization, divide and rule, strategies, stratagems by the different apparatchiks that are involved in this, then you will suddenly see it and understand it, and it will be so simple, you're like, that wasn't complex. It's like in the 80s, those paintings that came out where it was find the hidden image. You'd step back and you'd look at it, and you'd look again, and as soon as you relaxed, you'd go, oh, it's a dolphin, or it's a man's face, or, you know, it's whatever. As soon as you stepped back, you were able to see it. And it's the same thing here. As soon as you just step back, think outside the box and look, and you'll go, oh my gosh. And of course, everybody instinctively says, oh, there's no difference between the parties. They're all controlled, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, what does that really mean? Well, it means if somebody real comes along, like a Ron Paul, who actually has a perfect constitutional voting record, who never sells out, who isn't a chameleon, who stands out like a yellow school bus in the middle of a field, The whole system, A, ignores him. When they're forced to cover him, they demonize him and say he can't win. Because he is a literal antidote to the system. So if you go out and vote for Mitt Romney because you think he's the winner, well, you're just as stupid as the Obama supporters who thought he was going to fix it all. But remember, Mitt Romney, if he wins, is there to sell you out. But as soon as he gets into office, Democrats will attack him, whatever he's doing, and then you will suddenly support him in a tribal rah-rah for your team, and that's how they fool you. Just like Democrats support Obama when Republicans attack him, but the Republicans will generally attack him for things that they were already doing themselves. And at a certain point, they really are attacking each other, but they're only fighting over who gets to be the most powerful in those positions at the pig trough. They're not actually fighting over intellectual issues. Now, again, I know most of the audience understands this, but I would like to hear from occupied Wall Street people that disagree with me. I'd like to hear from Mitt Romney supporters that disagree with me. I'd like to hear from Herman Cain supporters. I'd like to hear from all you Obama people that got so mad at me when I made the Obama deception and were trying to boycott us and threatening us and dirty tricks and everything else we went through when we exposed exactly what Obama would do, because we know what we're talking about, because we're not in the dark. We're not into being bamboozled. We don't like being gamed and hustled and scammed and suckered and screwed and cheated and robbed and raped and laughed at. We don't think that's funny. I don't want my children growing up in a police state. I want my private property. I want my right to practice my religion, or lack of it, depending on what your view is. I want my life, and I want to be left alone, and I don't want to be a slave like 90% of people in this world are living in countries that may call themselves somewhat free, but you look at it closely, they're not. In America, there's two different worlds living together at the same time. There's the homeland, that is the modern name of the New World Order, private Federal Reserve, occupation. There's und homeland. There's this globalist system, and America is this homeland empire, or the giant cyclops that the bankers trot out to dominate whoever they're going after. And then you've got the old republic under it. And the homeland is dissolving the republic and attacking its foundations. It's absorbing it. It's using it up. But we have to run in and defend the republic, aid the republic. It's a spirit. It's an idea. It's a philosophy. It's bulletproof. It's a manifesto. It's a constitution. It's a declaration of independence. And so it's a spirit. And the enemy wants to demoralize you. The enemy wants you to think you don't have power. The enemy wants you to be scared. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing you have to fear is not getting up off of your butt and resisting these people. And it starts by going over and knocking on your neighbor's doors and saying, I'm going to show a film this Saturday night at my house, and I'm going to cook hamburgers for everybody. You want to come over? It's a political film that's not left or right. It's about where this country stands. And it could be Endgame. It could be Invisible Empire with Jason Burmes. It could be Terror Storm. It could be Fall of the Republic. It could be any of those films. It could be Aaron Ree Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism. You want to defeat the New World Order? It starts with you literally printing up copies of the Declaration of Independence, going to your neighbor's house and saying, I want to talk to you. And you know what? You may talk to 10 people till you find somebody that wants to talk to you. But now there's two of you. Now you don't feel so alone. When there's two of you knocking on doors, suddenly you won't get one out of 10 or so to join you. Suddenly half the people. Now suddenly you got 20 people coming to the next road. Starts with one, ends up with two at the end of the street. Now by three streets over, it's 20 or 30 of you knocking on doors. And hey, turn the television off night every week. Start picking somebody's front yard or backyard to have a party in. And run up flags, run up a don't tread on me flag. You just start preaching the culture of liberty, and people are hungry for it, like a man in the desert who hadn't had water in 4 days. People are hungry, they are thirsty, they are crying out for it, and you've simply got to reach out to them. That will defeat the globalist. The whole world government is moving out in the open right now. All of the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. And we knew their plan, we understood their plan, and for almost 17 years, I have attacked them at point-blank range. You have attacked them for many years. Some have attacked them for 50 years, seeing it coming as the globalists were building their new system, and the parasite was growing the whole time. That was its incentive to keep growing, and now it's overtaking the republic. Now that they're on top of us, you ever had a bully sit on you when you're 10 years old, sit there, punch you in the face and spit on you, and you finally get angry and throw them off of you? And beat the tar out of them. We're at the point where they're squatting on us, spitting on us, hissing at us with their big snake eyes like pinwheels, trying to hypnotize us culturally, spiritually, societally. And it's time to get up. You're not thinking about getting up. You're not thinking about getting these guys off your back. You're not thinking about it. You're going to do it. You're going to stand up. Period. And that's what it's going to take. Because the choice we have is no choice at all. The alternative, I mean, this is not some run-of-the-mill, good old boy, boss hog corruption we're dealing with. This is not just the, no. This is scientific. But as sophisticated as this tyranny is, once you're aware of it, once you know that it isn't going to give you quarter, once you know it's not going to give you a place in it. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of sociopaths I know out there listening. Is this system overall doing good for you? On average, no, it's not. You're losing out as well. You see, when everybody sells out, it creates a total hell. I mean, I look at all these cloistered, yuppie-type businessmen in their perfect suits, and you'll see them at dinner meetings talking, and everything is totally calculated with a fake affect and response. And it's like, why are you even having dinner together? It's not even real. I mean, that's got to be a prison you're in. But see, for those people, building a wall like that is a shield. And the truth is, those are cowardly people. We need to cultivate uprightness, true intent, and honor and directness. You are nervous about knocking on your neighbor's door. You're nervous about going and speaking at the city council. You're nervous about being involved politically. If you do it 10, 20, 30, 40 times, you will become completely confident and empowered. And then you can go to the other extreme where you get like I am. I can fall asleep in front of city council. I can give some of the best speeches you've ever seen, as I know some of you have witnessed, because it comes from my heart. But my problem is I do this so much, I've gone to the other side of the spectrum where it's like breathing. But you feel disempowered and you feel hopeless because you're not moving. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to do a perfect job the first time you take action or the 50th time. But you are going to feel so empowered and so alive. And you are going to build those political and intellectual muscles by taking action. By taking the field. If you never tried to learn how to row, you're not going to learn how to row. If you never tried to learn how to play golf, you're never going to learn how to play golf. If you never try to learn how to box, you're never going to learn how to box. If you never try to learn how to work wood or oil paint, you're never going to learn how. If you never try to learn about how the world really works, you're not going to know anything. And the system thinks you're lazy. They think you're broke back. They think they can run over you. And listen, a lot of people are in a total trance, living in la-la land, arrested development, and you're not going to reach them. They don't count. They've never counted. It's 5% of the population on the side of good and the side of evil. 90% sucking their thumb, looking for somebody to lead them, looking for somebody to help them. That's a fact historically. And the secret is, of the 5% that evil's got, more than 4% of that, or more than 4/5 of it, are well-meaning people in a brainwashed template, believing they're helping good by the evil. When you show them their compartmentalization and show them how they're serving darkness, you can flip that 4/10 of the enemy's force to us like that. Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to try to stop ranting and pontificating for a few minutes and open the phones up and cover news for the entire second hour coming up today. Any news item you want to cover, any issue, any question, you disagree, you agree. But I'd like to hear from Obama supporters who think I'm wrong and still think he's a good guy. I want to hear from Mitt Romney supporters. Do folks believe these polls that's what conservatives want? A guy who literally is like Al Gore with better hair? Or do conservatives think, like they've told me on the ground, oh, Alex, he's just a chameleon. You know, he did that to get elected. What? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, looking for a different outcome or response. The entire stock market is rigged on record by the mega banks for volatility, up and down, so they can generate fees. It is so frustrating to see this unfolding. Now, after I get to some of your calls, and by the way, the number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. After I get to some of your phone calls here today, and it's not first-time callers, but if you've called in the last few weeks, give somebody else a chance, please, because we don't screen your calls, and longtime fans kind of take advantage of it so other folks can't get on board. 800-259-9231. Coming up, I mentioned some of this yesterday, but the New York Times, the Washington Times, and others are reporting that Israel may go ahead and strike Iran, and that indeed the green light been given to Washington. Washington's been told Israel's getting ready to strike it. And here's a New York Times article, U.S. planning troop buildup in Gulf after exit from Iraq with an eye towards the threat of a belligerent Iran. That's New York Times Saturday. Here's Haaretz, though. An attack on Iran would be disastrous for Israel, by Amir Oren. A lot of the Israelis, it's not one monolithic group, they're saying bad idea. Also, remember Bill Gates saying they want to release genetically modified mosquitoes to, quote, cure you of malaria and other things, but also to forcibly give you vaccines? See, everything's moving into forced vaccines where it's in the pharmacological beets or the pharmacological onions, where it actually grows the big pharma in it. Listen to this. Concerns are raised about genetically engineered mosquitoes, New York Times. And they go on to say, we're worried because you're releasing something that can't be recalled. So that's all coming up as well, and a bunch of other news. What do you think about armed citizen militia showing up at Occupy Phoenix? Well, I'm all for people open carrying to point out the Second Amendment. My issue is this group is led by an admitted member of the National Socialist Party, or he attends their meetings. We got video of him. And either he's an idiot or he's then a Fed. I mean, I can't see it any other way. I mean, even if you were a white supremacist, God forbid, actually wearing Nazi uniforms, as some of these people do. I mean, this is ridiculous. Some socialist party from the 1930s, it's clown-like. It's clown-like. I told you Al Turner was a Fed, and he was. I'm not saying these guys are, but if they're not, my My goodness. Before I end this hour, I keep forgetting. PrisonPlanet.tv. PrisonPlanet.tv, which is InfoWarsNews.com. You can get there that way as well. We've got 15-day free trial running right now. Period. You sign up, you get 15 free days. Even if you're trying to set up officially. And just stay there. You got to renew it. When it comes to 15 days, you got to okay it. 15 days, see the nightly news, all my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, everything. Right now, for a limited time, 15 days free.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, it is hour number two. It'll be a jam-packed hour with your phone calls. Also, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to play a few videos put out in the last year by a group whose research I've checked, it's absolutely accurate, about what a reduction in population means. Total collapse of society. So those video/audio breakdowns are coming up at the bottom of the hour. Then we'll continue with your calls. We're also going to get into concerns are raised about genetically engineered mosquitoes they're going to release on us, and a bunch of financial news dealing with the global markets and the dollar. Just a ton of stuff coming up. And we got Fritz Springmeier for his first radio interview that I know he's done since he got out of prison being set up. That's coming up. Right now, let's go ahead and go to Blue in Tennessee. You're on the air, Blue.
Thank you, Alex. It's an honor to speak to you.
Honor to talk to you.
Well, I'm looking for solutions, and this is what I personally do on a daily basis. I use my cell phone, and I put it on speakerphone, and I have GCN programming as well as RBN programming as I'm standing in checkout lanes as I am at a gas pump pumping gas. And one of the ways that I get people engaged, if they don't overhear and pay attention, I'll just simply look over and ask them, do you know what your government has done to you today? And it's just a matter of picking a topic that they're interested in.
Well, a lot of people will play my radio show in their business. They will play this radio show or my films in their restaurant. They'll have free copies at the family gas station, or they'll make copies and sell them for a dollar. I don't care. Just get it out to people at their store or their church. People will also put up little FM transmitters that cover just their neighborhood and then put up signs around the neighborhood and then stream my show off of their computer. And it really has a huge effect. But yes, I will, and my show's being rebroadcast locally sometimes, I'll sit there while I'm getting gas and not turn it up super loud, but turn up where folks can hear it. And then I'll tell them, hey, find out what's going on. Find out some key information. Tune to this radio station. Absolutely. It's having a huge effect.
I will agree. I've had many, many people stop and ask me what I was listening to, and I said, it's the actual news. It's the true news. Do you have business cards that are printed up with your information on it?
No, but I have been meaning to get back there with Tim and offer basically a program of my bumper stickers at cost. I mean, literally at cost, so people can get them. There's a small profit now, so folks can support us, but I want to really get them out in bulk. And also, we should come up with a program where people just buy the business cards from us at cost so that people can, you know, just not even do it themselves. A lot of folks have already done it themselves, but just activist packs. We already have activist packs with bumper stickers, citizen rule books, Infowars.com ballpoint pens, with just a slight profit on them. But I'm thinking because the time is so short that I'm going to get back there and launch something, at least through Christmas, where it's at cost. In fact, I'm glad you called in about this because this needs to be done right now.
I would very much like to have the business cards pass out just to get their initial interest. What I've been doing is I've been writing it up on a piece of paper, people that have Obama stickers as they're getting in their vehicles, and I'll just look at them and say, you know what? I feel the need to give this to you, and it has your information on it as well as Ron Paul's information and where to go and to make a true choice rather than a dictated choice to you.
Well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Keep it up. More calls straight ahead and the news. We're going to get to everybody here on the other side of this quick break. We also are going to have a 24-hour plus live transmission coming up this Thursday, kicking off at 11 a.m. We'll tell you more about that today as well. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in the hour, your phone calls. I also want to air a couple different short video / audio pieces, and I've looked at their numbers. They're absolutely on target about the fact that we would need to have 2.1 children apiece to be able to just not have our society totally collapse. But all over CNN, all over MSNBC, all over PBS, for the last week, everywhere, it's there's too many people. 7 billion. It's going to double by 2050. When the UN's own numbers are, the population's going to plane out and stop growing at around 8.5 billion in 2024. And I've got all the numbers. I'm going to, throughout the week, do special reports on this here on the radio, but also on the nightly news, 7 o'clock Central. You find it at prisonplanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. But coming up at the bottom of the hour after we take some calls, overpopulation, the making of a myth, and 2.1 kids, stable population. And you can look these numbers up for yourself. We're going to be breaking this down and then ask, why does the system want to reduce population? Sure, some areas of the world where people are having 6-7 kids and are totally poor, you could argue it's unsustainable. These are people that come from agrarian societies. They've been forced under UN programs off their land for Big Agra to take it over at gunpoint in Honduras, in Uganda. Just in the last month, it's been in mainstream news that UN World Bank sponsored groups actually machine gun people that won't leave their own rural areas so they can take their land over. That's why you've got people living an agrarian lifestyle in megacities. I'm not saying there aren't some problems in squalor, but you don't keep them in squalor and then tell all the yuppies here in America and Europe don't have kids, and they don't. And Germany's got a 1.3% replacement rate. For every mommy and daddy, there's 1.3 children. And then you add in accidents, as they do in these actuaries, and disease and things, you're looking at 1%. One person in the West, this includes Japan, one person is born for every two parents now. That's called the death of the West, as Pat Buchanan called it. It is the total implosion, the end of society. That's why they've got to bring in foreigners now to just prop up the Ponzi scheme of Social Security worldwide. But they've stolen all that money, so it doesn't matter. And then the illegals all get on welfare. Did you know 60%, even the LA Times admits this, of the people on welfare in California are illegals? Oh, by the way, they have jobs too. They are hardworking on average. But then the system gives them 2, 3, 4 different welfare checks under different names. And of course, California is going bankrupt. Over 70% of the people on welfare in Arizona are illegals. It's over 40% in Texas. We're collapsing, and there's 6.5+ billion people that want to come here. What, 6.7 billion that want to come here, and it probably wouldn't be such a problem if we had another couple hundred million come to this country, but not if they get on welfare. You get tens of millions of people pouring in a decade and they want welfare? And Rick Perry says you don't have a big heart if you don't give the illegals in-state tuition? Ladies and gentlemen, when my mother went to the University of Texas, I think it was something like $500 a year or something. Now the University of Texas is something like $20,000 a year. In fact, guys, look it up. What's the University of Texas if you're not in-state tuition? It's supposedly a state school. I mean, they own most of the oil in the state. They're the biggest landowner here. They've got $100 billion in their permanent fund, billions in gold. But it's hundreds of thousands of dollars for a degree. And my tax money goes to it all day long. And if illegal aliens can sail in here, and somebody from New York or California that comes here can't get it. Again, it's an incentive by the globalists to have taxpayers pay to bring in third world labor to displace American jobs. And you and all these stupid socialists who want to redistribute wealth that are at Occupy Wall Street. I'm not saying all of them there are bad, but I'm saying the socialists that are calling for it. You don't have a job because of globalism. Is that in a year? It's worse than I thought. That's from the University of Texas. In-state is $24,714 a year. Out-of-state is $47,426. So that's cost of attendance, tuition, and fees. Holy mackerel. Holy mackerel is the only word I've got. Well, it's worse than I thought. So there's your inflation. By the way, I'm not saying education's bad. In the 1960s, if you paid 500 or so, what was it, in-state, 1,000 out-of-state, yeah, that was pretty much worth it, even though in inflation numbers it was more like, you know, 6,000, 7,000 a year. I've seen the inflation numbers. Education's great, but not when it costs you hundreds of thousands of dollars with interest on top. And then you're a debt slave to it, and they've outsourced your jobs, so there's now no jobs for you that can pay back what you've put in on that. All right, now I'm ranting. I said I'd go to your calls. By the way, I never plug this, and I really should. It's bad that I don't, and I'm going to apologize right now for this. No one's complained at me. It's just I was looking at the numbers that we now have, and this is XM Sirius, you know, on their bigger shows can have 5-6 million listeners. I guess there's like more than 30 million total. But I've seen some of the numbers that there's upwards of 200,000 people tuning in during the 3 hours of the show on XM. And then if I plugged it, this is a way for people, no matter where you live or what you do, God forbid you buy XM and hook it up to a pirate FM. I'm just joking. No matter where you are, they pick up this because, you know, used to I did 4 hours. So what they're doing is they were picking up the last three. So really what they're picking up is the second and third live, and they re-air the first hour and the fourth. 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern. 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern. And it's satellite channel 166. And I think I've been on there a couple years now. For a while, they had me on at night. And then for a year or so, they've had me on during the day. And I've mentioned it some. But it's almost like I can't believe that. I know we're competitive and get good ratings. And much of what we've talked about has now come true. So our credibility has risen. But to be on one of their main channels, 166, everybody should subscribe to XM Sirius. I know I'm on both, but this is Sirius XM. So I think we're on something else on, it's the same company on XM. It gets confusing. But the point is, I've been on 166 for a long time. Before that, it was 150 something. And that's one of the little extra packages you can buy, but most people have this. I know I have it. It's weird to sometimes not do the show and then hear my guest host and be able to hear it in my car. By the way, I love XM and Sirius. You know why I love it? Because I can listen to TV, all the channels, BBC, everything. I can just flip to the channels and I can listen to C-SPAN, POTUS. It's unrivaled. So all of my listeners should subscribe to Sirius XM, channel 166, America's Talk. They've had me on now for years, so I think it's safe to subscribe now. And that's something I'm going to try to advertise on the website. I'm going to get some banners up and start linking to their subscription site. Because you can also get little portable units. We have them in the house. Take them around with us. Go in the backyard. Or I'm in the garden with the kids. Boom. Can listen to whatever I want. Listen to children's shows. They've got books on tape. Yes, I'm plugging the daylights out of it. Because they've had me on a couple years. And I was kind of blinking at first. I didn't believe my eyes. Or my ears, but a couple years into it, I'm going to start plugging. Channel 166, and that's 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock Eastern. Okay, so there you go. My lawyer was at my parents' party this weekend, and he was talking about listening. By the way, I forgot, my lawyer, Eric Taub, is the guy that beat the city of Austin a whole bunch now when they said that people on Congress could build a deck on their restaurant. And it's even, you know, mainline, retired Austin cop owns it, nice restaurant. His son's a firefighter, works with him, you know, quit to work there. They got the permit to build the deck, and the city of Austin came in and said, we're revoking it. We don't care after you built a $100,000 giant deck, and harassed him. And Eric sued him and won, and he's suing him on a bunch of other things and winning. And he was talking about city people now are basically kind of threatening him, like, you, I know you, you're a troublemaker. When he's out in public and stuff, they come over to him. So I'm going to try to twist my lawyer's arm to bring the owner of this restaurant in, Trudy's, to bring them in here and get them in studio just to talk about government harassment. By the way, now, if you've got a small tree on your property, they won't let you even build a high-rise building now. But Eric was saying that but if you're an insider or given political contributions or hire their wife or whatever to work at your company, suddenly you're allowed to build. Total scumbag mafia. And the reason I'm saying that live on air, listen, not only is it time for me to get Dave Mustaine on, who wants to come on. Not only is it time to get Mike Judge on, who wants to come on, by the way. Now talk to him. Not only is it time for me to get Ventura, who wants to come back on. Not only is it time for me to get, I want to get my lawyer on. And George Norrie is on Thursday during the 24-hour marathon. So is David Icke. There's a bunch of other famous people I'm not even going to mention who I am. It's not that I'm too lazy. In a way, I am too lazy. I want to just sit here on air and cover the news instead of calling up famous people who call me to get them on the show. But I'm going to do it. Or hell, I'll just turn my producers loose on them. The point is that I don't talk on the telephone much. It's really what's going on here because I work so much. But we have got incredible guests coming up in the next few weeks here on air. That's all I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen. And we're very, very excited about it. And big things are happening. And one of our crew, never mind, I'm mad if I tell the story. Anyways, all right, I promise, I'm going to take your calls till later in the hour, and then I'll play the population control video. Sometimes Satan, he comes as a man of peace. Yeah, first he's in the back, now he's in the front. Ollie in Virginia, then Matthew, Don, Peter, James, and others. Ollie, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Welcome.
Alex Jones, how are you?
Good.
Good. You sound a lot better than you did last week on Friday, man. You're pretty choked up, huh?
Yeah, well, when I start getting real with people or personal, then it gets very religious, because that's really where I'm at.
Oh, absolutely. You're right, man. After I watched that video as well, I was pretty choked up as well. I had a bad weekend, actually, after I saw that.
But, well, you know what? The avoidance of legitimate suffering is the heart of evil, in my opinion. And we need, especially folks that support all these wars, are calling peace actions. Hillary being hailed, all the Democrats saying this is a great war. They should go watch the children of CERT in other cities, 40 to 50,000 of them, with their faces blown off, writhing around in pain. And you know, all these people that want me to go, you know, to Halloween events and things. I can't go to some Halloween haunted house and watch people with hatchets in their heads and stuff, because I think about real stuff. And it's not because I'm a wimp. It's because I live in the real world. I don't think violence is cute.
Absolutely. I'm on the same point, and, you know, I was going to make that point as well. Imagine if all the politicians, all the warmongers, imagine if everybody saw that video. It would be a completely different society by probably next week. But, and that's why I wanted to bring up the Iran issue. You know, I'm half Iranian, half American. You know, I was raised in a Christian upbringing for the most part. My dad's a Muslim. He lives in Iran. And I wanted to bring up this Iran issue. I know you've covered it a lot, but people still don't really see it. You know, I talk to people all the time. I do a lot of blogging on different topics just like you, and I'll link a lot of my articles to you because you get a lot of just awesome factoids on your website. But when people are still buying into this, you know, Iranians want to bomb Israel or whatever the media pushes, and Abdi Nejad said he wants to wipe Israel off the map, and it's just not the case. People just keep buying into it, even people in my own family. It's hard to get across to them. They're generalizing an entire country, and they don't even realize it. And obviously, I'm pushing this because you see what happened in Iraq. You see what happened in Afghanistan, what's going on in Egypt and in Libya. And people are going to buy into this, and you're going to see more little girls and little boys like that on the Internet. Nobody's going to talk about it in the news, but it's just sick that people can still buy into that crap. You got Bill O'Reilly misquoting things that the Iranian president, Ahmadinejad, is saying about wanting to wipe Israel off the map, and it's not the case. You know, I don't support Ahmadinejad by all means. I think he's kind of a twisted guy, but you can see what they're doing, obviously.
Well, he's getting in trouble right now for corruption probes, and look, everybody knows the president is, quote, allowed to run in Iran. He's basically selected before it ever happens. It's the Supreme Council. 6 years ago, they had very, soft-line folks that wanted to work with the West and truly build peaceful reactors, and they were double-crossed, so they put hardliners in. And I've seen different sociological numbers of 70 to 80% of the Persians don't like their hardline government. So, you know, the question is, Pakistan's got nukes, North Korea does. Why can't Iran, which, by the way, isn't even getting nukes right now, but as Ron Paul's pointed out, why have a new war with them? Because it becomes a political diversion, and Benjamin Netanyahu is in the Washington Times, his advisor saying he thinks it'll make him look like Churchill, even when his own advisors and the Mossad people that he, by the way, had kicked out are telling him, don't do it, don't do it, because it is going to totally destabilize that whole region. Israel's going to get attacked from all sides, just as Pachenik was saying earlier here on the show last week or so, or 2 weeks ago now. It's a very, very bad idea. I appreciate your call. But knowing folks in Iran, is that an accurate number? What percentage of the people in Persia don't like what's going on?
Well, a majority of, you got to realize that the majority of the population in Iran right now is under the age of 27. And it's a very young, very sophisticated population, and probably the most aware as far as political issues, even eugenic issues. You can talk to just about any Iranian, and they'll talk about these things just like you do every day on your show. And if you were to just go and talk to or ask questions to just random people on the streets of Tehran or Isfahan or Shiraz, just go talk to them and ask them what they think about the Western media saying that Iranians in general just hate Israel, hate Jews, or hate Christians, they'll laugh at you. It's the stupidest thing. And I'm talking about a very peaceful population, especially the younger crowd. You know, my father, people his age, grew up in the revolution times. You know, they have a little bit of a twisted view.
Yeah,
we're on the march.
Again, death, injury, agreement, strike, war, Soviets, Americans, 2-0, and stupid bastards. Good night. This is the irritating bit where they can't hear what we're saying. Now why don't you smile as if I've just said something funny?
Okay.
That's the lunchtime, early evening news at 10, late night news. £29.50 from All Good Stockists.
Every bomb you make, every job you take, every heart you break, every Irish wake, I've been watching you.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We are here. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to continue with your phone calls, then get into 2.1 kids stable population video / audio. is put out by an organization that's done the research on this subject. I've separately literally read dozens of books on population and confirmed these numbers for myself. You can just type into YouTube, 2.1 kids, stable populations. In fact, guys, will you just print me this with the pull down on it so I can actually plug the group? I've plugged them before, but I can't read the organization here. Thank you. And then they've got their website that goes over it all, because we're seeing all this demonization taking place against populations and people having children. And I wanted to go over some of those myths with all this hype of the seventh billionth person being born. And then we'll play the overpopulation, the making of a myth. We'll break that down as well. But first, we'll go to your calls. Then I'll get into Prince Charles has been offered a veto over 12 government bills since 2005. How does the royalty still have vetoes over laws in England if they don't have any power, like the tabloids tell us? Or how does the Queen of England, three times in the last 3 years, abolish Parliament in Canada because they wouldn't do what she wanted? Or in Australia? She owns more than half of Canada on record. This is probably the richest family in the world after the Dutch royal family, their cousins. And as I covered last week, I always say they're German royalty. They're not even German. They're Transylvanian royalty. As the BBC and others reported, Prince Charles admits that he wants to save the Transylvanian Carpathian Forest because he is the heir of Count Dracula. You cannot make it up. And of course they want to reduce world population by 80 to 90%. Of course they want to shut down our resources. He's 500 years later, he's the progeny of Count Dracula. Yeah, it's the overpopulationmyth.com group. And I want to get them on as guests. Just amazing research, as it dovetails all the research I've done. It's very common sense research. You can do it for yourself. We're going to be doing some nightly news reports, breaking it down from our own research later in the week. But that's coming up after I go to some more of your calls. Who's been holding the longest here? Peter, and then Matthew, Don, James, and Rick, and others. But before I go any further, I have not really been hyping this, but it has been a big success in that a lot of folks are signing up, and our mission is to reach more people. I've had PrisonPlanet.tv for 8.5+ years. This next April will be 9 years. It has all of my radio shows, commercial-free podcast every day, my book, Paul Watson's book, all of my films, expanded extras, hundreds of special video reports only there, the nightly news now, other special reports, the rant section, the only area I haven't updated in a while. I'm going to do a bunch of those real soon. It's all at PrisonPlanet.tv. So again, if you go to PrisonPlanet.tv, you can sign up right there on the site for 15 cents a day or $5.95 a month, or get a yearly membership and get 3 months free. But you can sign up now and try 15 days. If you don't like it, cancel any time. So again, 15-day free trial right now, PrisonPlanet.tv. And yes, you're supporting the tip of the spear alternative media. You are building an organization to face down the globalist. And yes, PrisonPlanet.tv viewers get it when it first airs at 7 o'clock every night and the restream. But large portions of it are posted to one of our YouTube channels that has 150 million views on it. And so you're also then financing us reaching tens of millions there and the hundreds of other video channels that copy it as well. And I haven't even gotten ready yet to put the nightly news on different cable and TV systems that want it. It's going to be more a la carte here and there, but we've had a lot of people reach out to us. I'm told there's already systems all over the country airing it because we're getting the calls and emails about it. And I've run into folks in Houston who own a cable channel that have put it on. I need to actually get in contact with them and create a whole listing. We're moving so fast, we don't even know everywhere we're on yet. People that are already grabbing this thing live, which is pretty crazy because sometimes it has glitches and stuff live now. That's why we're beta testing. We haven't gotten all the kinks ironed out, but whatever. It's exciting. Don't wait for orders from headquarters. Go to the Sound of the Guns. 15-day free trial, PrisonPlanet.tv. And speaking of not screwing around, I had the idea to offer our bumper stickers, not at a small profit, but at no profit. We have a 15 bumper sticker pack with different selections for $3.95. It was $6.95, so now it's half off. $3.95 instead of $6.95. And that includes Citizen Rulebook and some other stuff. Or it'd be even less, because that thing costs us about 55 cents. Then we have a 25 variety pack. It's $5.95, was $9.95. We have a 50 pack. It's now $9.95 instead of $14.95. We have a 100 pack, $17.95 instead of $24.95. And by the way, to even get the prices down to this, we're going to sell out quick. I just ordered 20,000 of each type of bumper sticker. As soon as I gave the order to do this, they said we got to order then 20,000 of each because we'll run out quick. It takes 2 weeks to get them. And I just had to order 20,000 more Citizen Rulebooks. Get them. Let's have a major offensive with the bumper stickers in legal and lawful areas. Certainly don't stick these on Homeland Security billboards saying spy on your neighbor on Soviet takeover billboards. You know, people in Germany, I guess, shouldn't have stuck stickers up against Hitler either, but I'm being sarcastic there, folks. The point is, bumper stickers, everything. This is at cost, at cost, at cost, at cost, at cost, at cost, okay? We factored it all in at cost for our shipping, our handling, all of it. It's available right now, Infowars.com. I'm already seeing my bumper stickers everywhere. Let's blitz them hard. PrisonPlanet.tv, that's one way to support us and get the word out. Download, make copies to disk of newscasts on any subject you can imagine that you think's important. Get it out to people. And now in the bumper sticker, Infowars activism area, everything being slashed down to nothing because I'm all in. I'm all in, all in. Let's hit them hard. By the way, I've got to finish watching the final videos that came in. I've pushed back the contest a while because we've bitten off more Wink Chew, but I will finish up looking at the videos and choosing the winner, and we'll announce those sometime during the Money Bomb. We'll play first, second, and third place for the Alex Jones prediction videos here on air during the Money Bombs. Let's mark that down, Jaron. We will get that in. So much of the time, we just have producer meetings here live on air. That is coming up. Let's go to your calls now. Enough of that. Let's talk to Matthew in California. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for waking me up. I've been a Megadeth fan, speaking of Dave Mustaine, for ever since I can remember. And it wasn't until his last album, Endgame, that I really started to wake up, and then I watched your movie, Endgame. And I took up the fight back in the early part of June here in 2011, because a light switched in my head. A light went off, and I have two kids, and a 7- and 6-year-old, and both of them have been affected by vaccines. I see vaccines in the negative effects and everything about vaccines, and so that's how I first started. I got awake. But what I really wanted to tell you is, kind of lost my train of thought here for a second. But first of all, like I said, thank you for waking me up. I really appreciate everything that you do, and everything that you do, and the fight that you've undertaken for all of us. I know what I wanted to say now. I wanted to say, back to your first caller, Blue. She made a really good point. I made an order a few months ago from you guys, and I got a bunch of the bumper stickers. And ever since I got those bumper stickers, Alex, all I can tell you is that I've had more conversations with people about meaningful things than ever before.
Oh, that was a point I never make enough, because I'm not just saying this. All these people say they want to meet like-minded, awake people. You wear an Infowars.com shirt, or a Ron Paul shirt, the shirts we sell, or an In the Fed shirt, or a Socialism is Stealing shirt, where it shows the guy with the gun, putting the gun to the head, taking the guy's money, and it says socialism. You will meet real Americans everywhere. You put an Infowars.com bumper sticker on your car, you will meet like-minded people. And it's weird. You might have a cop, pull you over for speeding and let you off because you have the sticker. You might also have cops pull you over because of it. We've had both happen. But you'll really find out who people are and what side they're on with an InfoWars bumper sticker. I appreciate your call. It is incredible. I mean, when I wear my shirt out in public, liberty or death or in the Fed, I run into people who don't even know who I am. I also run into folks that obviously listen to the show or have watched it online. But I run into people who are like, oh, I like your shirt. You know, don't don't tread on me. What are you in the Tea Party? And I'm like, yeah, we're the folks that started the Tea Party before the mainline Republicans tried to take it over. Let's go to Peter in Washington. Peter, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex. There's a couple of points I'd like to bring up. The first one is easy, and the other one is not so easy. The easy one is I'm inclined to agree with you about Mitt Romney. However, I would like to see Mr. Skousen try to make a defense of him if he will. Now, the second point is...
What, is Skousen, Joel Skousen likes him?
Well, he said, a little bit.
Well, I've heard him say Romney doesn't know what he's doing, and I don't agree with that. But, you know, Joel's a good guy. He speaks with authority. You know, I heard him one night on Coast to Coast say that I was incorrect about the Super Congress, but all these other people, Ron Paul and others, have said that he can't find it in the Constitution. This Super Congress is different. They've had to, you know, have Congress people like Boehner come out and say, look, they bring up the spending bill now. That's unconstitutional. The House can vote up or down on it. That's not how spending bills are supposed to operate. Yeah, I mean, that's unconstitutional in my view. And I've looked at other super committees. This one has taken even more power. But you know, I should get Joel on, maybe during the 24-hour broadcast or something, so we can discuss that.
Okay, now here's the hard point. About 10 or 15 years ago, at various times, I read some of the LaRouche material. And after reading it, I concluded that it could be a crypto-Jesuit operation. It's very anti-Protestant. It's and it, various other things, dogmatic Platonism and anti-empirical and other things. I know probably other people have talked about it.
Well, I'll say this. I don't know about Jesuit operations or something in there. But, I mean, a lot of philosophy and systems have been charted by the Jesuits. The word propaganda came from the Jesuits. So you're right on that front. But I mean, as for LaRouche Group, you see, I have Democrats on. I have Republicans on. I have Naomi Wolf on, and I don't agree with her politics, to get her perspective. So just because I have a group on doesn't mean then I subscribe to everything they say or everything they believe. I mean, I've had Pat Buchanan on. Doesn't mean I agree with him on everything. I've had liberals on, conservatives on. I've had just you name it, I've had them on. And so I had David de Rothschild on and attacked him. For pushing carbon taxes, and people said, look, he got a Rothschild on. My gosh, he must, you know, be incredibly connected. No, he had a book coming out, and we called the publisher, greedy to get their person booked on 100 shows. We called the publicist. I don't want to tell people how to do a radio show, but people who don't work in radio just don't know this. You can get famous people on when they got a book out, and so are powerful people. And that's how we got Rothkopf on, the head of the Kissinger Group. He had Superclass out. He wanted to sell a bunch of it. We called and got him on. People are like, how did he get Rothkopf on? We dialed the telephone. That's how we did it. And he thought I was Alex S. Jones, though. But by the first break, he was like, oh, yeah, I thought you were Alex S. Jones. Well, I'll finish the interview. So the point is that I don't agree with a lot of the solutions of things that Lennon LaRouche pushes. His analysis of the Anglo-American banking establishment and things like that, I think is, look, I read stuff they wrote 20 years ago. I started reading it 16 years ago or so after I'd already kind of woken up and I was really searching, that later I separately discovered to be true in original research. So I think they've got some of the best research out there. LaRouche, when I called 16 years ago to get their quote free magazine, very pushy when I, you know, wanted to call and get it, you know, for the free thing, all this stuff. I didn't like that, but so it's a separate issue from where I stand and what I do. And I've always said that when I get LaRouche on. Go ahead.
Well, okay, Alex. And like you say, you're playing a chess game on several levels. Just don't lose track is all I say, and I appreciate you a lot. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you. Look, my greatest frustration is I don't have time to craft my message. I don't have time to really get it all right and be perfect about it. I'm just up here swinging. Because I've calculated that if I just do the basic research and overall let it all hang out, I can reach more people and get more done. I am capable of making super high-powered films that reach 20, 30, 40 million a piece, people-wise, that we put out for free, that do cause giant sea changes. And it is a... I've really thought about this a lot. I could probably reach as many people as I'm reaching now and be totally pure and make films and just release a film every 2-3 months and have about 5 employees instead of 30-something. But now I've got all this crew. I've got this model. A lot of it's to keep this crew hired. And also, I like to talk a lot, so it's a lot of... But I have thought about really just making films, but then I wouldn't have my defense of being on the radio live and the big audience, so it's a catch-22.
Some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief.
Okay, there are reportedly 7 billion people on this earth. If you go to the UN's own numbers, I'm going to do more detailed reports showing this later in the week on the nightly news. I'll probably air it here as well. The UN says 8.4, 8.6. It varies by about 2024, 2025. And then population starts going down. Now, that's as a whole worldwide. In the United States, we have a 1.4% replacement rate. If it wasn't for all the immigrants coming in, our population would be dropping. Europe, Japan has, a 1.2, Italy a 1.2. For every, and then you count in automobile accidents, people that don't have kids, people dying young, for every 2 adults that were born, there on average, there's 1 person to replace them. So you do the math, there's nobody to pay the Social Security, there's nobody to upkeep the society. These are dying cultures. Especially when the third world's exploding. And most of this population control is only happening with the higher educated people. That's what Mike Judge covers in Idiocracy. It shows the smart folks going, we're not going to have kids for the earth. And then it shows the football player who's mindless going, I'm going to have sex with all of you with 10 cheerleaders around him. And that's basically what's happened. So let's go to 2.1 kids, stable population. And then we'll get, which one is first? Which one did I queue up first? 2.1. Okay, so this is the first one, the 2.1 kids, stable population. Here it is. And it starts with video. And it says 2.1 kids, a stable population.
From the time of the cavemen all the way until today, humanity continues to exist because each generation of people has produced another generation to replace itself. Scientists have figured out how many people need to be born each generation to replace the generation before. That number is 1 person per person. All things being equal, this creates perfect demographic balance. Since women are the only ones who can have children, replacing every person on Earth means each woman needs to have 2 children. One to replace her, and the other to replace the man, who cannot have children. The total fertility rate is the average number of children each woman in a society is having. This number shows us if a society is growing or shrinking. In developed countries, the replacement rate birth rate is 2.1 children per woman. This will keep the population stable, but even that is assuming that every woman has children, and that there are no wars, famines, or disease. In the real world, disasters happen all the time. And sadly, not all children reach adulthood, especially in poor countries. This pushes their replacement rate up to 3.3 children per woman. Since not every woman wants to have children, in order to keep the population stable, some women need to have more than 2.1 children to balance the birth rate with the women who are only having 1 or no children at all. Maintaining this balance is of the utmost importance. If society does not at least replace itself every generation, human numbers begin to fall exponentially. Economic and social problems appear as elderly people retiring begin to outnumber young people entering the workplace. This is already happening all over the developed world. Many of the world's nations are only barely replacing themselves, while a growing majority have birth rates below replacement, some as low as 1.8 or even 1.2 babies per woman. Many societies are facing a very real danger: extinction.
Okay, folks, and if you can't watch the graphics, it's a lot stronger when you watch them. I'm going to have the crew repost it up at Infowars.com. We're going to come back and play the rest, and we have Fritz Springmeier joining us. But my wife in Whole Foods with three children has actually had women come over and get in her face. Listen, the West is dying. The numbers they show in that video is the West with the immigrant population coming in. You remove that, it's even lower. Okay, so the West is dying. Get it through your head.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, let's go to one more of these videos. And again, I'm going to do a more detailed report later in the week. This is the overpopulation, the making of a myth. The reason I'm playing this ahead of more of your calls and Fritz Springmeier and some other important news is they just keep hyping we're overpopulated. Well, not in the West. And I understand there's a globalist loathing, a self-loathing going on in the West. But literally, people will come up to you at parks and grocery stores here in trendy Austin, and they'll say, wow, you got too many kids. That's bad for the earth. And people, you're supposed to step and fetch. And I bought carbon credits from Al Gore, the fat slob. No, it's like, get out of my face, you little control freak. You're just mad that you chose not to have kids because you're so self-loathing. Get away from me. It's incredible. You know, you can fit everybody in the world and then have an acre or so into Texas. Certainly, there are some areas of the world where I would say things are overpopulated. But humans are like reef fish. We like to stay in congregations. That's why everything gets in compact areas. And there certainly are some toxic systems out there. But the globalists lecture us all day when they're in coming out with genetic engineering and cross-species splicing. I agree with John Lennon when he said overpopulation is a myth and a fraud, and it's planing out right now at 8.5 billion. We just hit 7 billion. It's setting all the actuaries to plane out at 8.5 billion. They've had those projections for 20 years, and they've shown to be very accurate because the globalists are reducing people. They should know. They're reducing the climb rate, and then the trajectory goes down. And then, of course, they're releasing genetically modified mosquitoes. I've got that in the New York Times. That's all coming up as well. But right now, I want to go to this video. Here is overpopulation, the making of a myth. Population 101, overpopulation, the making of a myth.
The myth of overpopulation originated in England in 1798 when a vicar named Thomas Malthus, who fancied himself something of a mathematician, saw that food production increased incrementally, but people reproduced exponentially. He sat down and did some simple math, and summarily decided that the world would be out of food by 1890. He blamed reduced mortality rates, and recommended killing off the have-nots of society, lest the haves starve to death. This cry was taken up by Paul Ehrlich of Stanford University in 1968, who claimed that reckless human reproduction had overwhelmed the Earth. Massive famines would result, which would destroy, best-case scenario, one-fifth of humanity by the end of the 70s, and the planet would follow. This fear produced large donations for the newly created UNFPA, which thrives on an imagined crisis that has been both imminent and rescheduled again and again over the past two centuries. The truth of the matter is that every family on this planet could have a house, with a yard, and all live together on a landmass the size of Texas, which is really just a small corner of the planet. The population of Earth will peak in 30 years, and then start to go back down. We're not overpopulated. Do the math.
And by the way, that is the facts. 2025 or so, it peaks, then begins to fall. And then the big troubles happen, because who's going to take care of this giant aging population? The answer is explore space. The answer is build ocean cities, which they have the technology for. The answer is come out with cleaner technologies. But the globalists want to self-manifest this. That's what this whole carbon tax is a forced post-industrial world. That's what ethanol is, starving tens of millions a year conservatively, killing an extra 10 million people a year now. It's gone from 15 million a year starving to death to over 25 million. This is what's happening. This is what's going on. This is the shutdown of society. Because the elites for hundreds of years since Malthus have believed in this and liked the idea that they're superior. Royalties always thought that, no matter what culture or group. So that's why when eugenics came out through Galton, out of Malthus, and then Darwin and others, this is their worldview. That's why they do all of this. And they've set up the whole world according to this system, and it just continues, and it's now the stealth system running our planet. It's where Hitler came from.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, there's a lot of disinformation out there about him. I've met him in person several times and found him to be a very genteel, nice person. I didn't get any bad vibes from him. And I know that that's always the real signal. And I've been selling his book now for many years, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, Fritz Springmeier. One of the only places you can actually get it is at Infowars.com. And when I first read this a decade ago or so, I'm going to be frank with you. I'd met Fritz when he was here in Austin on local TV, down at the station, and met him at another conference event once. And I believed he believed a lot of it. But I, even though I snuck into Bohemian Grove and things, and I first met him right after I snuck in there, I still had trouble believing it. Since then, so much. He was the first guy I heard talking about the royal family of England not really being German, but being from Transylvania. And then, really being Arabic and all this stuff, or Sephardic. And then now that's on national news now. So just a lot of really wild, wild stuff. And then over the years, so much of it, no matter how wild, has turned out to be true. Now, imagine Fritz. He had, I don't know how many books out everywhere he went, selling tons of them. I know we were selling a lot. I happen to know the publisher. I knew they were selling them. You know, he would have no reason to bomb a porno store or whatever and then rob a bank. And I remember him saying, they're breaking in my house, they're trying to set me up. I remember seeing it in the news, they've been raiding him and stuff. And then, boom, they grabbed him, put him in jail. Now, remember, the government has a 98% conviction rate with the feds. And he's on probation, he's been in jail for many years, he's lost a lot of weight. I just saw him on Skype a minute ago. He looks better than he did just a few weeks ago in the one video I've seen of a little presentation he did. He'll be back again. We got to be careful how much he gets into today. But he's agreed. What he wants to talk about is who he really is versus the lies of places like Wikipedia and what happened to him, you know, what he can say about prison and where he sees the world, what, 7-8 years after being incarcerated. But they can do this to anybody. They could plant drugs on yours truly or put horrible things on my computer or, God forbid, kill my family and say I did it. I mean, this is the kind of stuff the globalists have been caught doing. Operation Northwoods talks about how to frame Americans for bombings that the Pentagon carries out. And frame-ups are legend. Now with DNA, we know about a third of people on death row are innocent. And we learn, there was a case in Texas I saw a few weeks ago where the prosecutor for 20 years knew the person was innocent and knew who did it, but didn't care. It was about their career. They'll even put people with no criminal record like Fritz in jail. You know, usually they like to set somebody up who's already got a record, like people believe it. Very, very frightening. And so Fritz Springmeier joins us via video Skype. Fritz, for people that don't know who you are, you know, a lot of people that have been into the conspiracy, into reality, they, of course, know who you are. Over the years, I've said, you know, they've said, where's Fritz Springmeier? Where's Fritz Springmeier? Where's Fritz Springmeier? Now, why don't you get his wife on? And we've tried, as you know, many times to get her on. But she obviously couldn't because she didn't want him to do stuff to you in jail. Now you've been out a while, but obviously, you know, even Freya Ricky Ross, who started speaking out against government drug dealing, now they're trying to throw him back in jail. So well, I want you to be very careful here today. We appreciate you giving us the first big interview that I know of. Correct me if I'm wrong. Good to have you here, Fritz. Tell us who you are, a brief snapshot of your life. You know, I know they said you weren't a West Point graduate. I actually went and looked it up in their rolls. There's your photo. There you are. But the point is, they've really attacked you. You hit some things that really scared them. Was it the Transylvanian bloodline? Is it the satanic rituals? I mean, why did they come? Well, get into who you are, what happened in prison, why they came after you, you think, and now what you see in the world.
Wow, that's a lot of questions. Okay, let's see what we can do with them. First, who am I? For myself, the image I have is as someone who's trying to model Christ. He's my role model, and that's all that really matters about my life is that I be Christ-like. All the labels that the system tries to slow... The system is labeling people right now, and their computer programs carry these labels. Like, for instance, two-thirds of the blacks in major cities are labeled as affiliates of gangs or gang members, you know. And so there's all kinds of labels that have been slapped on me, but the only label that I would want to be identified with is somebody who's trying to follow Christ. My life's been unusual. My father had the goal of helping save the world. He was an agricultural expert, and he went around the world living in many, many third world countries and trying to help them become self-sufficient. He made a career out of that. And he passed on the concept of trying to save the world to me. He said, you know, he said that if you're going to live life, when you leave it, the world a better place than what you found it. You know, sort of like that Boy Scout thing is when you go camping, leave the site better than what you found it. And I think I have honestly tried to do that and accomplish that to some degree. Why were they ticked off at me? I think it was a combination of a whole bunch of things that I did, but one of the things that they were really sensitive about was the mind control, the trauma-based mind control. You'll notice that I put out three books on it with about 40 pages of the actual codes that they use on the slaves. And once you have read those books and you're familiar with the codes, you can sit there and watch television and see them manipulating these total mind-controlled slaves left and right all around us. And people are constantly telling me that, you know, after they got in touch with my information, now they realize what's going on around them.
That's the book, How to Create a Totally Undetectable Mind Control Slave, which now they admit everything on TV is layers of programming depending on how programmed you are, and just someone watching TV since they were a small child, they are under a form of mind control, and actually scientifically, even BBC admits, in a lower brainwave function than we were just 50 years ago, the public in general is in a trance.
Yes, people sit in front of their televisions in a trance. In a sense, they're almost worshiping that altar, their television altar. So true, what you just said. And of course, your listeners have heard a lot of this. So, you know, I'm not telling them probably anything that they're not already familiar with.
But you were a trailblazer. How did you discover all that? So that made them really angry at you.
Yes, I kind of bumped into the whole thing. I view myself as a historian, not as a conspiracy theorist. And I was doing a massive amount of research into the elite, you know, because we are now a government of the power elite, by the power elite, and for the power elite. And I was researching them to expose them, and I had the privilege of meeting four people that had been teamed up in the Illuminati to be a four-person team that were trying to get out. And they pointed me in the right direction on a lot of things. I had to do most of the research myself, but because they pointed me in the right direction, it really helped me. And then that's how I got into the mind control.
By the way, just a segue, I ran into a famous person a few weeks ago and had dinner with them, and they point blank told me about Illuminati rituals and Hellfire Club and stuff, but then said, I'm not going to talk about that on your show, maybe sometime. So the point is, we know these things existed and do exist, but I mean, you're sitting there having dinner with a well-known famous person, and they're just point blank telling you all about it. It's just incredible. And to find out that most of the people that are part of Oxford in any of the elite clubs are actually taken to the caves, engage in rituals. I mean, it's just so widespread. You know, when I grew up in Dallas, people tried to recruit me into, and I'm talking about with wealthy people, into occultic stuff. This stuff is rampant.
Yes, it is. It's everywhere. And once you can, once you're familiar with what it looks like and smells like, you see it everywhere. I've become almost numb to it. I walk around and I see it all around me, and it doesn't even register hardly with me that what's going on, because I've just seen it for so many years and been able to recognize it for what it is.
Incredible. Okay, we're going to break in a moment, but this is just amazing. Continue in just 1 minute before we get back into what are some of the other things they got mad at you for and then clearly set you up. I want to talk about some of how you were set up. It's just incredible.
Well, you know, when I started working with these four people, I was trying to help them leave. And when you're in the Illuminati, you don't leave. It's like being in an intelligence agent. When you enter, like, you know, if you entered the GRU, the KGB or whatever, they told you, you know, you don't leave our organization. Well, you don't leave the Illuminati. And that was what I was trying to help quite a few people do. And to the extent of actually giving away addresses and names and everything of people that were in the lives of the people I was trying to rescue, I exposed an entire Illuminati community in Bend, Oregon, and they all moved out. They sold their houses and moved out to different locations.
So you were like Van Helsing. Stay there, Fritz. You were like Van Helsing exposing them, these psychic vampires, so they wanted to punish you and put you under the jail. Let's come back and talk about this on the other side with Fritz Springmeier, author of Bloodlines of the Illuminati. Stay with us. Fritz Springmeier is our guest, and if he can do it Thursday, I'm broadcasting live for 27 hours total from 11 a.m. until the end of my show the next day. I might have Aaron do the last hour or something in the official show, but Aaron Dykes, I want to invite Fritz back for an hour. We've got so many guests from George Norrie to David Icke to you name it joining us that day. It's just going to be amazing. It'll all be free, by the way, not just the audio streams, but the parts not carried by XM, AM, FM, shortwave, satellite, and things like that, you're going to be able to see free. And I think the beta test, we're going to have it free on Justin TV, free stream from PrismPlanet.tv, and a couple different systems embedded at Infowars.com and at InfowarsMoneyBomb.com, so people can watch the entire 27-hour extravaganza where we try to get the rest of the funding for a couple more crew members, reporters, more equipment, and the fiber optic systems we need to get the show delivered to TV systems. Okay, going back to Fritz Springmeier with us for the rest of the hour, maybe a little bit in the next, joining us via video Skype. Fritz, you were getting to the point of running these guys out of the community. And I remember you were doing it. The cops were raiding your house, quote, for marijuana, finding nothing, then saying on the news, we found extremist material. Well, of course, you were always in your talks showing different groups and how they controlled them. And, you know, you're a researcher. So, I mean, they could come to my house and find Mein Kampf and say he had a Hitler book. I mean, you know, they could go to a Jewish rabbi's house and find that and say he's a Nazi, I guess. So you were warning people. You said they're getting ready to set me up. Why on earth would you then go rob a bank? And then they used all these disreputable people to do this to you. Briefly, tell folks about how you were set up.
They bribed three real criminals. When I was initially indicted and brought before a federal judge, Judge Brown, she honestly said, and she told this straight to the DA, she said, I'm going to release this man until trial because there is absolutely no evidence against him, and there never was. And the judge kept saying, the judge that presided over my trial, he kept saying, like it was some kind of a mantra. He said, he kept telling everybody in the courtroom, circumstantial evidence can be used to prove anything. Well, circumstantial evidence is like I went to the mall and I saw Santa Claus. I saw him on television. I saw a book about him. Therefore, Santa Claus exists, you know. So using Brian's
testimony. Or I say I went to Scotland, or I say I went to Scotland and I saw the Loch Ness Monster with no proof.
Exactly. And that's what they hung me with. Absolutely no evidence, with bribe testimony that didn't even mean anything. And it's pretty startling. But today, juries are going to be looking at what the DA is doing, and they're going to, obviously my jury, if it was sincerely looking at the issues, must have said, well, why is the government going to all this trouble if he's not guilty? You know, because if they looked at at what was actually presented in the courtroom, there was nothing really presented. Now, like,
and by the way, I looked into your case when I called, when this was all starting, you weren't there, but your wife was. And it was like, oh, he's not worried. This is all just another attempted setup, because you knew it was ridiculous and you knew the first judge had laughed it out. But they didn't care, because a lot of these juries now, they fixate on groveling to the power structure and they enjoy putting innocent people in jail. I'm telling you, they're sickos.
Yeah. Well, and then I have to wonder if it was really a sincere jury. It certainly wasn't a jury of my peers. The type of people that were in the, when we did voir dire, the type of people that were available to choose from were definitely people that were pro-establishment. And to give you just one example of many, one guy had been a lifetime submariner. Now, if you live on a submarine your entire life, you're going to be someone who follows commands, believes in the system, blah, blah, blah. You didn't see people that were coming out of the ghetto. You didn't see any, the entire group of people that were there to were white. There was no minorities in the jury pool to pick from. Personally, I would have rather had some minorities that had a little distrust of the government. Yeah, your question about prisons was good, and let's maybe address that for a little bit, because a lot of your listeners may eventually during their life face something like that, because we're coming into some really difficult times. When I was a teenager...
Well, Fritz, I'm sorry. That was a short segment. You'll have a long segment, uninterrupted, straight ahead. We'll start at that point when we come back. You're 7-8 years behind the gulag wire, and I see you've lost a lot of weight, but your spirit's still there on the other side. Political prisoner, Fritz Springmeier, stay with us. Fritz Springmeier here in just a minute, and I haven't asked him yet, but we're probably getting set up for Thursday as well during the 27-hour live I say 27 because it's not really 24. When my show starts over at 11 a.m. Friday, I'll then do that show as well. So just an amazing guest, multiple guests, you know, every hour or so. Some guests like Salente will be more than an hour. It's going to be power-packed, the fourth annual 2011 Money Bomb. So check that out at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. You can start donating now if you want. We normally raise about $100,000 by the time it kicks off. $500,000 is our goals. We can hire a couple more IT people, get some other sites launched. We want to get launched a couple new reporters and a bunch of equipment we've got to get. Just a lot of things like that. And that's why we built this organization. And it takes a lot of devalued dollars to get the job done. So InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And also when you buy books and videos and tapes and things like Bloodlines, the Illuminati, you not only support our operation at the online bookstore, but you support the writers and researchers like Fritz Springmeier, political prisoner. Also, because they're in here telling me to plug this, I think Cade actually designed this, one of our graphics people. I love it. It says, ideas are bulletproof, we the people. And then it's got Article 1 inside the seal to the First Amendment. Ideas are bulletproof, we the people. People say, what does that mean? Well, the First Amendment. And on the back, InfoWars.com. A really original designer t-shirt available at InfoWars.com. And we couldn't have done any of this without all of you out there supporting the transmission. Also, in closing, with the plug here, don't forget, because the guys were asking, will we do this forever? And I doubt it. I think it's going to be a seasonal thing because we have another special we like to run. Where you sign up for a year, you can get 5.5 months free. It basically comes out to get almost half a year free when you sign up for that thing we always do around Christmas. But right now we're running a 15-day free trial. 15-day free trial. I think it'll probably, I haven't decided yet, but it's going to run at least into part of November. 15-day free trial, PrisonPlanet.tv, the nightly news, all my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, the high-quality commercial-free podcast, all of our stuff going back almost 9 years, PrisonPlanet.tv, $5.95 a month. But right now it's free, PrisonPlanet.tv, so easy to sign up there. Now, going back to political prisoner Fritz Springmeier, you were talking about, hey, I've been on the other side, was it 7 or 8 years? And you need to know what it's like because a lot of you are probably going to be going there as well. We have the biggest prison population in the world. They're setting up a martial law internal checkpoint grid with federal goon forces. They're training neighbors to spy on each other, Jumbotron saying, don't trust your neighbor. It's like a dystopic film, sci-fi horror movie, 1984 meets Stephen King's The Running Man, meets Brave New World, meets The Island of Dr. Maru. So please continue, Fritz Springmeier.
Yes, pulling together several of your questions, it would be appropriate to talk about prison. One of the benefits, one of the good things that my father had taught me was to think for myself. And so as a teenager, I knew that at some point I was going to bump into the system. There was a little plaque I put up on my door. It said, when freedom fails, good men rot in filthy jails. And I told my sister, I said, because I think for myself and I'm willing to do things about what I see, at some point I'm going to end up in prison. I knew that I was just going to bump heads with this established system at some point in my life, and eventually it happened. Wisdom is knowing what to do. Skill is knowing how to do it. And virtue is actually doing it. And some of your listeners out there are actually going to have the virtue of getting out there and doing things. And when they do, you know, when freedom fails, the best men rot in filthy jails. That's where a lot of them eventually will end up. So what happens when you go to prison or jail? Well, two things. One is you're going to suffer loss. And the other one is you're going to wait. And you'll be lucky if you don't lose everything. And how long you wait, you don't know, because generally when you first get incarcerated, they don't tell you how long you're going to be in there, and you haven't been sentenced. So as far as you know, you could be in there the rest of your life or die in there. So even a week in a jail can seem like a very long time. So that's what I would forewarn people about, because a lot of people, when they get into jail, they start stressing that they're losing stuff, and they start stressing that they don't know how much time they're going to be incarcerated. Let it go. You know, it is what it is, and make the best of it and accept it. The best thing that can happen to get you through the time is to accept the reality that you've been incarcerated and start making the best of it. If you mentally fight the thing, you just go through paroxysms of torture. Accept what's happened and then move on in life and make the best of it. And that's what we have to do. We have to take the good with the bad and make the best of it, like you've been trying to do with your show, you know. I really love a lot of the things that you've done. I like your T-shirts that you're advertising, because I think part of the solution is we've got to laugh. You know, I mean, you've got tyranny, you know, legalized freedom T-shirt, you know, that's humorous. That's part of the answer, you know. I hope your listeners out there buy these kind of things and walk around and, you know, get some chuckles.
Well, I think what you're getting at here is don't let it crush your spirit and use it as a learning experience and feel sorry for the people that are in there feeding you GMO and soy-based food and enjoying your pain because they are hurting themselves, hurting their soul, literally tying heavy weights and chains around themselves in God's eyes and really weighting themselves down for the drop into Hades. But it's one thing to imagine it. You have lived through it, Fritz. You lost a lot of weight. Why is that?
Well, halfway through my bit, I started exercising, and it was intentional to lose the weight. I'm healthier. I've been exercising for the last 5 years on a regular basis. So I'm actually healthier than when I went in. That's one of the advantages. I took the time that I had to do, and I used it for good. While I was in there, I spent 5 years teaching GED. I got high school GED diplomas for a lot of the guys. I was using my time productively. And that's one of the things that I want to encourage people to do is, you know, we've just got to take the cards that we've been dealt and do the best we can with them. And of course, they're trying to deal us the worst cards that they can. But hey, it's not over until the fat lady in God's choir sings, you know?
Well said. So, no, please continue.
Well, I think you and some of the other people out there that are doing what you're doing are examples of what needs to be done. And that is, you know, you're trying to make people self-sufficient, get people to think for themselves, get people to quit being a sheeple and think for themselves. And if we can win the hearts of the people, their minds and bodies will follow along.
Do you forgive the people that lied about you and persecuted you and put you in jail for how many years was it, Fritz?
Well, I was given a 111-month sentence, and I did 8 years actual time. And then about a year ago, I was released. I was out for 3 months, and then for no reason, at least they never gave me any specific reason, they just rearrested me and held me on a marshal's hold under investigation for another 2.5 months and never charged me with anything. Like I say, never gave me a specific reason as to why they put me back into prison. And then they released me towards the end of March. So now I've been out for, approximately 7 months this last time.
And we've been contacting you, trying to get you on. You said, I'm not ready yet. Why did you email us last week and say you were ready now?
It's been a year, and I feel more comfortable. It was like maybe making the analogy, I wanted to sail the boat a little ways before I started rocking the boat.
Exactly. You wanted to get the feel of the boat first.
Yes.
All right, let me read some quotes here. I think it was Johann Goethe that said it, because it's got two quotes there in his name under it instead of university, but we're checking it. Correct us if we're wrong. He said both, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe that they are free. That's a take off the Bible of, you know, have not, I mean, has eyes but still cannot see. Here's another one. No one escapes when freedom fails. The best men rot in filthy jails. And those that cried appease, appease, are hanged by those they tried to please. So the point is, you also get put in prison fighting tyranny, but if you don't fight tyranny, they actually kill you.
Yes. One of my favorite quotes is Sam Adams said, if you love wealth better than liberty, crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. Yeah, that last part, may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. That
crouch really, down and lick the hand that feeds you.
Yeah. That tickles my funny bone there.
Well, Fritz, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You seem kind of tired a little bit in the one video I've seen where you gave a speech to a small group of people. But now you seem even more energized than when the few times I met you and watched you a decade ago. You seem to have actually been made stronger by this persecution.
Yes, I have been. I've, like I say, I used the time productively and worked on myself. One of the things that happened during the 1990s, which people really can't appreciate, but I gave so much of myself. I opened my house up to victims of Illuminati mind control. I had people coming in from around the world trying to get deprogrammed. I was doing research around the clock. I was writing. I was traveling. I was sleeping very little, and I was donating my life to everybody else. And when I went to prison, I finally got some time to work on myself. And so it was like a vacation. I could work on myself, get my health back, do exercise, all the things that I had neglected while I was trying to help everyone else.
So no weapon formed against you will prosper.
That's right, brother.
All right, continuing here. And by the way, folks, I've looked at the case. 100% set up. I mean, that shows you how criminal this government is. And people ask, well, then why am I still on air? Well, I've been physically attacked. I've been demonized 7 ways to Sunday. National TV, grassroots, you name it. Total COINTELPRO. I've been threatened. And I've just put it in God's hands. That's A, your prayers. B, but C, I'm so high profile, from their view, they don't want to highlight everything I've said, put 1,000 exclamation points behind it. But I'm not stupid. I know that if God wasn't there protecting me, I would already be dead. But it's kind of like the sports analogy. They tell you, go 110% every play in football, or you've got a much better chance of getting hurt. It's when you don't go 100% or 110%, you get hurt every time. And my view is, look, I'm in, point of no return. It's actually a good feeling. Commit to it. Whatever happens, you know what? I tried to be the best person I could, and that's why I'm still alive and still here. And it's a fight between good and evil. There's a lot of good people in government who are compartmentalized, and some of us have got to put our nails on the chalkboard to wake them up. Because as Mark Twain said in the beginning, a patriot's a scarce man, hated and feared and scorned and brave. But in time when the cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. We've got to hit that barbed wire. Fritz, because I want your perspective on this and the time we have and a few other issues. We'll have you back soon while you're here. But why do you think I'm still alive and still around? Because I 100% know I'm for real. I 100% know we're bearing good fruits overall. I'm not perfect. I look back sometimes in horror at what I've done. Why do you think I'm still around?
They don't think that we're going to make that big of a difference. I used to ask myself why they they made attempts on my life, but you know, when I blame God for having rescued me through those attempts, but then why didn't they continue to persist? I think because they, on the one hand, they're like, okay, let these people do what they want. And I'll be frank here, you know, when people come online and go to your site, they're identifying themselves to the New World Order, that they're opposed to the New World Order, you know? So they've been tagged, they've identified themselves
as... I agree, they're using it as a gauge, and so that's why I say, good, put my name on the list, the top of the list. You know, this is about us coming out in the light and saying, so what if vampires put me on a list? We're putting you guys on list. We've got to get past their intimidation.
Right, exactly, exactly. They're so prideful, and they view that their power as being almost godlike, absolute, that they really question whether we can do anything. And in their eyes, we do them, you know, by identifying who's against them, we help them out. And they think that they can squash us like bugs whenever they absolutely need to.
I have noticed that's the one big weakness of the Illuminati, is they are insanely arrogant on power trips, almost to the point of being kind of mentally retarded. I mean, they really are pathetic because I see how the system destroys its own people. I've seen, just from my own dead reckoning, that statistically it's more dangerous to serve them than to fight them. Have you noticed that anomaly?
Oh, that your words are 100% correct. That's why these people wanted out of the Illuminati. Is it's not a fun place. You might think, well, you know, because I've bumped into some people that have told me, Fritz, I'm watching this thing from the sidelines, and I want to be on the winning team, and it looks like the Illuminati is going to be the winning team, so that's who I'm going to go with. Yeah, no. They don't realize the pain and what you give up to be on that side.
Exactly. It's such a scam. Stay there. Let's talk about that. I mean, you don't make a deal with the devil, folks. Even if you think you got a deal, it's not.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side.
We're going to do a little bit of overdrive with Fritz Springmeier, and I hope he doesn't get thrown in the clink for this interview. There's certain subjects he's been told not to get into. Boy, you don't get your free speech back when you get out of prison. Isn't that funny? And they certainly have shut him up. I want to get to your calls, too, folks, and I've got other news I haven't gotten to. I got so many little subjects I want to bring up with Fritz, and I almost don't want to stop the show, but I've got to go do the nightly news as well because I want to get to everything. I might just do some extended overdrive here, but we've got to talk to Fritz during the break. But I've also got to get ready for the Money Bomb 27-hour broadcast. Fritz has agreed to be on with us at 11 o'clock his time, Pacific, on Thursday. And, of course, I'll be live then. So that'll be 1 o'clock in the morning our time. And then, of course, all this will be archived at PrisonPlanet.tv and also put on the YouTube channel. But we're going to have free boxes of different systems to watch it on PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to have a Justin TV channel and others. And wow, we got 3 million people to watch Aaron when he was at Bilderberg covering it just on our Justin TV. 3.2 million in a 3-day period watched that channel. So this is going to be big. Get the word out of the Money Bomb transmission. I'm going to try to tomorrow have the live Money Bomb page already up at Infowars.com. That'll have all the different players and things so you can get that link out to everybody for this historic transmission. Now, going back to Fritz here. Political prisoner, author of Bloodlines, the Illuminati, available at Infowars.com. Before Fritz leaves us, we'll also get an address if folks want to get the book directly from him and his family. But Fritz, this is a short segment, as you know, one more little short one, and we'll probably end it there. But I almost don't want to because we got you now, and I've been wanting to talk to you for 8 years. You were bringing up the fact of this isn't even a deal at all. People think they have a choice. Join the quote, winning New World Order, and get some temporary money, or whatever, or join good and be persecuted. I've actually studying this. You're a lot better off joining good. There's this illusion. You have to have the courage to first do it. You'll get attacked up front. But when you almost, like you've done, you've learned the secret, and it's what I've learned. And I hate to even say this because it feels sick, but it's not. I was never sadomasochistic, and I don't mean like I like being hit and stuff. I don't. But when I get persecuted and lied about, it's like somehow God in my brain turns it around and makes it almost enjoyable, even though it's hurting very badly. What do you think that phenomenon is? And if you, it sounds like you've experienced that as well, Fritz.
Well, when you know you're right, you know you're right. And if everybody else wants to be a lemming and run off the cliff, so that's their problem. You know what you're doing, and you have, when we go through our day-to-day life, if we just have a 9-to-5 job where we just sell our soul to the system, and we're dead inside, you know, versus someone like you, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing is right. You have a joy, and that joy brings life to you. You know, anybody who watches you can see that you have a lot of life, and versus somebody who's physically alive, but their soul's been killed. And you can't replace that. You know, you're not going to throw away what you have to be a dead person that's just like a zombie walking through their little system. That's what I would, how I would describe
Fritz. That's it. Listen, I am so fulfilled with this knowledge, and it's not even fear anymore. That it's all. People say they're unfulfilled. Do you ever experience it where you're so fulfilled with understanding and things that it's almost it's so good you can't stand it? The joy.
Sure.
Stay there. Stay there. Got a break. I want to get your. Oh, this is incredible. Unbelievable. This has been an amazing interview, and the woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have miles to go before I sleep. I don't know if we should end this in 5 minutes or we should do 15 more with Fritz on the other side, maybe take some calls. Fritz, I'm looking forward to having you with us Thursday. So you were getting into the joy of knowing you're right, knowing you're on target, and knowing that you're not part of the darkness, because once you realize just how dark that darkness really is, once you realize just what it is, it's like, my goodness. You know, they sell this image of the devil as the devil cheerleader, Marilyn Monroe, all hot and sizzling, and it's inviting. But really, it's not. It's desiccating. It's soul-sucking. And as you said, these are the servants of this are zombies bought for nothing out of money made up out of nothing.
Exactly. Fool's gold, counterfeit money. The devil pays in counterfeit money. Are you able to still hear me?
Yes, I'm just listening to you. We've got 3 or 4 minutes left. Genetic engineering. They're coming out with mosquitoes they're going to release to forcibly inoculate us. Cross splicing. All. What concerns you most about the New World Order's master plan?
Wow, where to begin? It's just death. The whole program is death. You know, all aspects of it. It's just to kill everything that's good and decent, and then this tampering, trying to be God, tampering with genetics, and we already have plenty of examples out there of horror stories of when they've tried to tamper with nature. You would think that people would be up in arms because of all of the bad examples that are already there. What concerns me most? Wow. Well, right now, the biggest issue that's facing us on our plates is, you know, they're going to crash the economy, and there's going to be a lot of suffering. And I don't like to see people suffer, And I hope that people will mitigate that by doing things that where they're more self-reliant. But I know that a lot of people won't be able to or won't do it because they're walking in ignorance. And so there's just going to be a lot of suffering. I'm already seeing it all around me. And right now, in the immediate future, that's my immediate concern is all the suffering that people are going to go through economically. We've got, and further on down the road, we've got even more mean, nasty things planned for the world.
Well, you know, Fritz, I've waited 8 years to talk to you. And so, you know what? Even though I've got stuff piled mountains high, do one more 12-13 minute segment with us to talk about the Illuminati master plan. The program is death. Now, the back of my film Endgame says they want you dead, but you know what is their program, Fritz? Death. I mean, that is it. They've got all these intellectual excuses mid-level for their technicians that don't see all of it or even a large part of the system. But when you get back away from it and actually see from an Illuminist viewpoint by study and reverse engineering, the program is death. It's a giant system to trick even their own servants into setting up a giant kill machine. And at the very highest level, the Illuminists, some of them actually know that and are into this nihilistic death thing. And I've actually quoted some of those globalists and transhumanists saying that they want to blow the planet up just because they want to go on willing. I'm sure you've seen those quotes. I mean, this is literally death. You know, they ask, what is the end game? Death. It's like James Bond saying in, was it Goldfinger? He says, do you expect me to talk? And he goes, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. I mean, it's death. People say, what's the goal? It's death. Where are they going? Death. What do they want for the world? Death. What are they into? Death. What's their end game? Destruction. Kill, steal, and destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy. They only want to steal and destroy because they want to kill you. Death, death, scorched earth, burnout planet, dead planet, extinct planet. Fritz Springmeier's our guest. Stay with us. We're going to do one more segment as he looks forward with what the Illuminati master plan is. We've talked about him now. Now we're going to get his view. Okay. We've only got like 12 minutes left with Fritz Springmeier. He'll be back with us 1 a.m. during the 27-hour broadcast. That'll be Friday morning, the first hour, I guess, of Friday. And we'll have free video streaming boxes at InfoWars and Prison Planet. We're going to try to fire those up tomorrow for Tuesday's and Wednesday's show ahead of the fourth annual funding mechanism here, the InfoWars Money Bomb 2011. Don't forget, we have 15 days free now. You can sign up and do a 15-day free deal at prisonplanet.tv. Get the nightly news, all of it. We are listener-supported. We're doing this because of your support and growing exponentially. If we're going to fight the globalists, might as well do it 110%. Now, in the little bit of time we've got left here until you come back, people obviously wanted to hear about what happened to you, what went on. It's a great window into our society, Fritz Springmeier. But in the 12 minutes we've got left, now 11 minutes, I want to just throw issues out at you and get a quick response in a minute or so to get your view and your take on things. But first, and if you don't have it in front of you, I forgot to tell you, find it and we'll have it at the end. But is there an address where folks can write and get Bloodlines of the Illuminati or your other books? How do people, is there an email? How do folks contact you?
Okay, they can contact me at springmeiermessages@hotmail.com. And they need to spell my name Springmeier, S-P-R-I-N-G-M-E-I-E-R, and then messages@hotmail.com. That will, and then, of course, the Bloodlines book is available from you, so I recommend that they buy it from you, actually.
Well, fantastic. Again, folks can go to the Springmeier site right there, and it's very important to support you, obviously, so that you can defend yourself again if they try to set you up. We need to get you back on that original work you were doing, but hopefully then my dad always told me, he's a really smart guy, he said, son, even before I got on radio, he said, when you go up against big crooks, they tend to just ignore you, but if you go up against little local corrupt people, or little criminals, that's who you actually got to worry about. And I think the fact that you were right in the middle of a nest of them is why they set you up and did that. But moving on along here, let me just throw issues out at you. Playing God, genetic engineering, we already covered that to a certain extent. What about Al-Qaeda, 9/11, the mind control of 9/11, the system now putting Al-Qaeda in charge in Libya, in Egypt, in trying in Syria? I mean, in plain view, saying we're taking your rights because of Al-Qaeda, but Al-Qaeda is trying to attack you, so we're going to put them in charge. What's the whole Al-Qaeda, Saudi Arabian situation and the whole New World Order constellation?
Well, we're working on a number of agendas there, but two agendas, and they tie into what you were saying about death. Two of the agendas is we're working towards a world war, and we're also working towards a world religion where they're going to destroy all fundamental religions and replace it with their world religion, which will be a satanic-based religion. And so Christianity and fundamental Islam are being discredited, and you have a lot of fundamentalists that are being exploited by the media to make people reject Christianity and Islam. So we got that agenda going. We've got also the process where they're bringing all these elements together to create another world war. You know, all of these agendas, like you were saying, you summed it all up by just saying it's death. One of the things that means so much to us are our children. And one of their agendas is to take away the right to have children. You'll notice the process. And when I was in counseling in college, my professor said, if you're looking at a situation, don't look at the details, because the details may be contradictory, but look at the process. You'll see that there's a process to create a world war. You'll see there's a process to discredit Christianity. You'll see there's a process here in many, many different ways to discredit the idea of people having children. And at some point, the government will be able to take that over, produce children in factories, and then, of course, we'll have the mind control full-blown then. Then they can produce whatever they want. You know, if they need a certain model soldier, they'll produce it. If they need a certain model slave labor, they'll produce that slave. They'll be under that type of mind control that's the program, you know, like a computer. Basically, what they'll be creating is human robots. And they've been doing that already, so that they've already have the ability to do that. It's just that there's still some of us around that are free men that think with are still free thinkers.
Well, that's one of their mind control programs, is to tell us we don't have free will, we're not allowed to have our own moral beliefs, but they have theirs. They all know it's about free will. They want to tell you there's no free will, and they admit the military with the drills and the codes and the files. It's all about making you do something over and over again until it just becomes automatic. That's what TSA, always wanting more, you know, power. Again, it's about training us, breaking our will. What's the time frame, Fritz, on all this? I mean, everybody can feel it. We're going into an incredible time. Why are people in their gut, not just intellectually, so upset right now? What's coming?
Wow. The time frame that I had been originally given by people that had listened in to planning sessions isn't working out. So I think that they went from the quick plan to some long range plan. And so I'm going to say, like, within 10 or 20 years, we should see the realization of pretty much of all the agenda. I would expect within 10 years that we will have had some kind of a major cataclysmic world war. I would say the United States, as we know it, will not exist in 20 years. You won't recognize whatever is here politically in relationship to the United States we understand.
Bingo. Let me stop you right there because George Bush, the UN, they were going to have the capping in 2000 of the pyramid, but they said, no, the great work is not complete. I watched on PBS an open public satanic Illuminati ritual broadcast worldwide with George Herbert Walker Bush there, and they said the great work is not done. They had a long-term accelerated program. The good news is it's not working the way they wanted. They're able to devastate certain groups, but it's actually having the opposite effect, and that it's waking up a lot of people. They've actually said they've had to switch their program, and so can we get a reprieve like Nineveh? I'm not saying it'd be 100 years, but in a way, it looks like we've gotten a reprieve for a while to have a chance to wake more people up so that their spirits can be in the right place.
Yes, God. I blame God for that. We can sum up all of these different factors that brought this reprieve up in just the word divine intervention. Yeah, we have. They've switched from the fast track to the slow track. But they still intend to carry out their global tyranny and their global slavery and all these other agendas that you've been exposing. But yeah, you're right. What you said was so well said. I couldn't have said it better.
And again, it seems like a fast track right now, but it would be even faster. Look, there's also a lot of good people left on the planet. And God, the universe, whatever people want to call it, is giving people a chance to get out there and warn people, because there is a universal law. That's why the Illuminati follows it. Like the vampire has to get permission to come in your house. You know, for this system to come through, everybody's got to have a chance to hear the truth repeatedly. Do you agree with that universal law?
Yeah, I agree with that. Well said. God's given this planet a respectable chance, and we're not going to be able to face him on Judgment Day and say, well, I didn't know or I didn't have a chance, because the chance has been offered.
And of course, they say it's not where you're going, it's the journey. This is the test. We really do have free will. That's why all of this has happened. I mean, God creates us, knows us before we're in our womb, but it is the free will. And people say, well, God's God. God already knows this is going to happen. It doesn't matter. It sets the system in motion, and within that is the free will, and it depends on what we do, much of the course of things within that stream. God has basically foreordained. It's so complex. It's predestined, but it's not. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
You're right on. We have free will within the context of God knowing exactly what's going to happen, because he's above history. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Fritz, we've only got a minute left. Anything else you'd like to add? I'm looking forward to our hour-long interview this Friday.
Oh, just encourage people to have hope. That's the big goal and the big assignment that I have now from the Lord, is to get out there and give people hope. If people don't have hope, if they throw their hope away, they're not going to move forward in life. And so hopefully what's happened with me will be encouraging to people, that they will see that in spite of it being dealt a bad set of cards, that you can still do something with it. And, that they would be encouraged, and likewise, they would get out there and do something positive with their life instead of just cursing the darkness and hiding from it.
Fritz, we're out of time. I'll say bye to you in a moment. Retransmission starts now, but it is the journey. It is the test. Do good on the test. That's the whole point, folks. Face the evil.